And welcome to episode 6 of Reclaiming Creativity, the podcast where we explore how to reclaim your creative mojo after having kids. Today, I'm interviewing the delightful Paulette Insall, a mixed media artist from Portland and originally from Alabama. This is taken from her Facebook page. My passion as an artist is to celebrate the beauty and joy in the everyday things that we often take for granted. Most of us get too busy to stop and smell the roses and miss out on the simple gifts in our lives that can refresh our soul. In my paintings, I seek to project a sense of joy and hope and serenity to be a source of daily inspiration and serve as a light on life's path. You can find her at paulletteinsall.com. Now, on to the interview.
So tell me a little bit about what your creative life was like before you had kids.
Well, before I had my son, I, of course, you don't have any constraints on, you know, if you don't work a job outside the home, you don't have any constraints on your time other than taking care of the house things. So it was pretty much I did it when I felt like it, which now I realize is not the ideal way to go about it because, you know, when you work a regular job, you have structure.
Mm-hmm.
It's imposed on you. You don't have a choice. And when you're at home and, you have control over your own time, it's really easy to just let time get away from you and you let it get filled up with other stuff.
Right.
So it was sporadic. And I went I did several different things prior to having my son. I made, mohair bears, like designed them and made them. And then, a couple years prior to having my son, I got into glass bead making. And, I don't feel like I actually did as much creatively prior to having my son as I do now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it actually having him has actually, over time, this is not something I learned like right off the bat, but I think it has actually, helped me get more focused.
Yeah. I'm noticing that too. So that kind of is a good lead into the next question. Over that time, how did you learn to focus on your painting right now?
Well, when he was first born, being my first child, I was very much all about trying to make sure I took care of his needs.
Mm-hmm.
In the beginning, and pretty much mine got put on the back burner. I think that happens with most first-time moms.
Yep.
And... So initially, that's how it affected me. I mean, I had zero creative time in the beginning. But as he started getting older, I started listening to all that advice you hear, like do things when they're napping. And the first 6 months, he didn't nap, so that was pretty much not going to happen anyway. So when I did do something creative, it was usually after he was asleep at night.
Mm-hmm.
And I was much younger then, so I actually could do that. So over the first few years, it made me realize that it really is important to fit that creative time in where I could, because giving so much of myself to another person that was so fully dependent on me left little for myself and to keep myself sane. So that creative part of my life, even though for, I'd say maybe even as much as the first, over a year, it really did take a complete back seat, but it made me, of course, like I said, realize how very important it really was. And prior to having him, it was something I didn't realize.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really what spurred me on to do this podcast and to finally dive back in, because it's been almost a year. It'll be a year tomorrow. So it's like I've been focusing so much on him and what he needs, and which is, you know, all well and good because it's a baby. It's just like you need to. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I was noticing that a lot of times I was kind of daydreaming about taking out my paints again and like, wait, why am I not? I have a little bit of time now. He does take regular naps and he goes to sleep a little early and I don't. Mm-hmm. So yeah, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
So,
I was going to just add, and you hear what people normally say is, nap when they nap.
Mm-hmm.
But I did that on occasion, but usually it was more like, you know, fit in what's important to you in that time, little pocket of time you have. So
yeah,
ended up shifting to that.
Yeah. If a nap is important at that time, then definitely take a nap. If something else is important at that time, definitely do that.
Yep.
So how did your expression or quality of creative output change after you finally realized, oh, I need to focus on this stuff now again?
Well, I feel like I definitely got probably got a little bit more creative time after I realized this when I first realized it than I did prior to having him. And after, like I said, after about a year or so after he was born, when the light bulb really and truly went fully off, I actually ended up hiring a nanny part-time to come in and help a couple days a week for a few hours and like do the dishes and fold the laundry while I was out in the garage, because at the time I was making glass beads, and that's on a torch.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something obviously I couldn't do inside the house. I didn't really feel okay having him out there with me. And,
oh, of course.
So, yeah. And then I did try to do it, you know, when he was napping and had the monitor out there, but with the roar of the torch and the,
mm-hmm.
The exhaust fan going and all that stuff. And it was just not the ideal situation. So, it made me, put more of an importance on, my creativity and expressing myself creatively. And that's just, it's carried through, and it's just, and I've been trying to find more and more ways about how I best work.
Mm-hmm.
It's taught me a lot about myself so that I could make the most of the time I had.
Right. So what is the most surprising thing you found out about yourself during this time?
That I really thrive on routine. and it's something that I never thought of before, because it was something that was, involuntary part of my life. It was just part of my life, and I didn't give it any thought, because when you work a regular job outside your home, whether it be an office job or whether it be, you know, at the grocery store or whatever, you have that set time that you have that commitment. You have to be there. And so everything has to, you know, be arranged around that.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I was at home, because I got laid off from my job because we had moved to Portland, and about a year and a half after I had gotten laid off, and I wasn't able to find more work. And so, and about a year later, I got pregnant, and then we had already discussed me staying home and trying to find something to do at home after that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't realize until after I had no routine and no schedule, and then basically had, this child that he really did thrive on routine and schedule and did so much better. I realized I did too.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's been a real struggle for me, because I've not been self-disciplined in that area. And so it's a constant challenge for me to impose that routine, that everyday thing on myself. And when something life-wise happens to throw that off, it always takes me so much more time to get back into that. But when I am sticking to that routine, like I get up and I get everything ready for my son to go to school and I get him off to school, I don't touch like the email and the Facebook and all the different things that can pull me away from my routine.
Yeah. So easily.
Yeah. If I just drop him off at school and go straight to my studio, which is since December, I'm renting a space outside my home. Because of this thing I've realized about myself, I need to actually remove myself from my home because I get so distracted here.
Mm-hmm.
Even when it's just me and the dog, it's just the things of the house are distracting me.
Totally.
So that's another thing. That's just something I've realized in just the last couple of years about myself.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking, you know, once he's in school, I'm going to have all this time. And yes, I do. But then there's all this other stuff.
Yeah, the dishes calling your name, the laundry saying, mm-hmm. fix me, yes,
exactly.
I know.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's been my the biggest thing I've learned about myself is my need for that routine and schedule to keep myself creating on a regular basis, and my need to limit distractions, because that is so disruptive of having a routine and having a set schedule.
Right. So with that routine, do you have any specific creative practice, like just for you when you're not producing stuff to sell or classes or things like that?
Well, I really love to sketch.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably the only thing I do with any consistency. So if I'm at home and I'm not, at my studio or trying to finish up stuff to do with, you know, the art business, that is something that I always have sketchbooks. I try to keep a notebook or a sketchbook with me. And inadvertently, it ends up, if I'm just sketching something just for me, a lot of times it will spur on ideas for new paintings. So even though it starts as a just to play around because I just feel the need to do something creative and keep that part of me going on a regular basis rather than only when I'm at my studio, it always ends up, a lot of times, ends up going into something that may turn into a painting to sell later. I've tried the journaling thing. I've tried art journaling. I've tried like keeping a written journal and, you know, doing like, what are they called? The morning pages and things like that. And it's always been very sporadic. It's just my brain doesn't function that way on a long-term basis, I guess.
Yeah. No, that's good because, you hear so many people being so rigid about, okay, every morning I have to get up and do my morning pages, but some people don't really operate that way.
Right.
And I'm kind of leaning towards what you're doing now, like keeping a sketchbook with me or keeping, my journal with me and just jotting things down or doing a quick little drawing or something like that, just to keep the practice throughout my day,
right?
Instead of setting a specific time every day to do so, because with a 1-year-old right now, it's kind of like we're still going with his whims, because there's so many of them.
Totally.
So if I have something nearby, and even if I just kind of jot a note down here or there, I'm finding that integrating it through the day is a little easier for me than setting a specific time.
Mm-hmm.
So cool. So what is your biggest challenge with keeping the creative juices flowing and producing work?
I would say just getting started, just showing up, has always seemed to be, I think the biggest challenge for me outside of what I was talking about, the routine and the schedule, just getting into the studio, even when it was in my own home, just getting in there and sitting down and doing something in there, even when I wasn't feeling like it. Something I have learned over time is, If you wait, and I think I've been hearing this everywhere now, if you wait for inspiration to show up, you're never going to do anything.
Right.
And it's something that, you know, I've heard off and on, and it really is very true. Because so many times I'm not feeling anything. And if I can just make myself get in there and start, or get to the studio and just get some, you know, even if it's just doing a quick sketch or throwing some paint for a new background or something, it doesn't take very long for, you know, that flow to start and for something to spark, and then off I go. And it doesn't happen every single time. There are, of course, I have times, just like everybody does, where you just have a bad day. You just, for some reason or another, it's just things aren't firing.
Right.
You know, and it's just, I know I am very affected by things that are going on in my life. So if, say, for instance, my son has a rough morning, mm-hmm. and I can't get him moving, and he's in slow motion, and every little thing is stopping him from getting 100% ready to walk out the door, and then he has a meltdown before we leave, then I really struggle with just that whole getting started thing. Even if I get into the studio, I will a lot of times struggle, because I am so affected by what's going on in, you know, in just daily life in general.
Mm-hmm.
So
I noticed you mentioned a couple of your tricks just to get started, but if you can expand, what are several tricks that you use for yourself when you know you're facing so much inertia, mm-hmm. with regards to getting started on anything?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, I mentioned like, doing some sketching, doing abstract backgrounds, just trying to get things, you know, color on a canvas or a wood board, or, you know, cut up papers for collage, or I always have, pieces in various stages. So I feel that also helps me. But so if I'm working on one thing and it's just not happening, mm-hmm. that day, I can switch into, another piece that maybe isn't as far along, or maybe is close to finishing, depending on how I feel, like what I feel like I need at that point. So at least I'm getting something productive, mm-hmm. done. So, that helps a lot. And, another thing that is an integral part of my creative process is music.
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't have music playing, I really have a hard time, getting going. So I have to make sure I always, have my music.
Right. What's your favorite thing to play right now?
Well, I mostly listen to, contemporary Christian music,
mm-hmm.
Like Third Day, and, my favorite artist right now is, I think her name is Dara McLean. Mm-hmm. She's fairly new, at least fairly new to me anyway. I don't think she's been around that long. And, that kind of things. And as far as the type, I mean, there's like the really rocking out stuff from like Fireflight and stuff like that is like, sometimes that's what I need.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and sometimes I need something softer, you know, so as far as what I'm listening to, sometimes it depends on what I'm working on, and what I feel like I need to help push me forward in those. And then a lot of times I just hit random and just let whatever play,
mm-hmm.
and see where that takes me. But it definitely is integral to my creative process to have music. And another thing I have found in recent years that I usually pray before. I try to make sure I pray, mm-hmm. Before I start anything, any work in my studio, because I've found that when I don't do that, when I don't stop and take that time to connect to God,
mm-hmm.
in before I even start anything, I always struggle, because I feel that I was given this gift to touch people, mm-hmm. You know, through art, and it's not just about me and my own creative expression. It is partly to do with that, but it also, he plays the biggest part in it, because without him, I wouldn't be able to do what I'm doing.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought of myself as an artist for many, many years, because my brother was actually the one that was the artist in the family. And I always thought I was creative. I did crafts and things as a kid and was always making stuff. And I sang and I danced and things like that. But I never saw myself as like a more of what you traditionally think of as an artist, like a painter or, mm-hmm. you know, that kind of thing. As I got older, I started realizing that, you know what, I think maybe there is something more to this, and it never would go away. And when I started exploring my artistic side rather than just creativity in general, I did several different things. Like I said, I made bears and I made glass beads. But when I made glass beads is when I first started seeing myself as an artist.
Mm-hmm.
And it helped me realize that I did have an eye for color and things that I'd never even realized. Mixed media art I had been fascinated with it for many years, but always been thinking, oh, my brother is the, you know, does art that way. And that's not where my, you know, gifts lie, but it wouldn't go away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, so I was like, the whole thing was starting something that kind of hindered me for quite a while until it was like, okay, I felt like there was, you know, something telling me that if you don't try it, you don't know.
Right.
You'll never know. And so I started and I never had thought, you know, and on, I never thought I'd be on this side of it, because where I started, I showed some of my students here recently, one of my first painted like person thing, and they were like, whoa, so maybe I can do this, you know, because, you know, when you started something, you're not going to be good. And
right.
So many people lose sight of that. They just want to jump in and both feet and just run, and you can't do that.
Right. Yeah. That's where creative practice comes in. That's mm-hmm. why it's called a creative practice.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's not creative perfection.
Right. Right.
Ever.
It's totally exactly. But going back to the piece where I said that, you know, without connecting to the master creator himself, I wouldn't be able to do this. I struggled with getting, you know, that whole part of, because I do have that perfectionist nature
that mm-hmm.
is part of my personality or whatever. But so I was really hard on myself, and I did feel like I could do more, but there was something that was like stopping me,
mm-hmm.
and I couldn't figure out what that thing was. And when I finally stopped and really took the time to talk to God about it and connect with him, that's when it's like that block just lifted, and I was able to do things I didn't even know I was able to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's a really big for me. So,
no, that's good. That's good. I definitely need to do a bit more of that, because, I find that same with you. When I do connect and when I do actually take the time and, you know, just get on the same page with God,
mm-hmm.
things flow a little bit easier.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because we're really good at trying to do things on our own,
mm-hmm.
on our own, you know, on our own, of our own strength.
Yeah,
and it's like, I got this, you know, I can do this kind of thing. Yeah, you know, you don't.
Yep.
I don't need help here, kind of thing. But we can do so much more through Him,
mm-hmm.
and even in just the little day-to-day things, when, you know, our kids have a tantrum, and, you know, I mean, even just things that you think, you know, I don't want to bother him with this kind of thing. He wants to be a part of all aspects of our life. But when he has, you know, I feel that all of us have, all of us are creative in some way, because we are all you know, made in the image of him, and he is a creative God. And so it's going to come, but it's going to come out in different ways in different people. And those that are called to be artists, that's what they were created for and what they were put on this earth to do. When they connect with him, because he's the one that gave them that gift to be able to do that in the first place. When they connect with him through that gift, he's able to expand it into so much more than they could do on their own.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And also I think that, you know, with the addition of a brand new life and somebody else that you're 100% responsible for, it helps a lot more when you're really in connection with God and relying on his strength instead of your own. Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. That's good. So getting back a little bit more towards our subject, if you were to go back in time to when you were pregnant with your first child and give yourself one piece of advice regarding your creative life afterwards, what would you say?
I'd probably say, I'd go back to the thing where, just, you know, just show up and to make sure that you're, that you make time for, your creativity, because it will make you a better mom, and make, you know, make you more able to be there 100% for, you know, your child, when you're needed. Because if you don't, you know, if you don't take care of yourself, you're not going to be able to be there in the way that you need to be. And, the thing that comes to mind is the saying I've heard is like, if mom ain't happy, nobody's happy.
Right.
You know, and it's not selfish to want, you know, it's not selfish to take time for yourself, because we all need to do that. And not just with creativity, also taking time to, for spiritual growth too. That all those things are important. And even though, you know, I've been given this responsibility for taking care of this child, if I devote 100% of my energies to only that task, everything else will suffer. So, remembering to, even though it's, I mean, there's no way to fully find balance and it stick.
Right.
But you do have to be aware of that balance and not let it get too lopsided for too long.
Yeah. Yeah. So for the new moms out there, including me, does it get any easier?
I would say yes. Once they are old enough to do some things on their own and are, and especially once they're in school, it gets easier, because it does free up time to where you do have the opportunity to take that time for yourself. Even if you get distracted with everything else, like, you know, house stuff and, you know, that kind of thing. It does get easier as they get older. At least in my case, it has. I'm definitely not one to put my child in every single extracurricular activity there is out there. Because I personally don't believe in filling every moment of his schedule. And there are plenty of parents that do that. And, if, you know, if their kid thrives on that, that's awesome. And if that's what they do want to do, that's awesome. But I know for me and my son, we want to make sure we're taking time, you know, to relax too, and not, you know, feel, like I said, not feel every moment of every day, because, you know, they're in school. Once they're in elementary school, they're in school for, you know, 6 hours or so a day. And then you run yourself crazy if you're doing all the, doing like every, I mean, I know moms that have their kids in something every single day after school. And if they have two or more kids, it's like they're going from the time they get up till the time they go to bed at night.
Right.
And that will run you ragged.
No kidding. So, I wonder how people find time to actually take showers and eat.
I know, exactly. Wow. Exactly. And I have a hard enough time doing those two things.
I know. And my kid's not doing anything but just walking.
You really need to figure out what truly is important to you. I mean, that's part of finding that balance too. What are the things that are important? Is a clean house really important? Is it really going to matter?
Right.
You know, do you really need a shower today, or would that time be better spent doing something else, like, you know, writing or painting, or, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, are you going to see anyone today that's going to mind if you didn't take a shower? That kind of thing. And most people that know me know that about me, and they don't care. So we're just glad you're here.
No, that's good. That's good. Yeah. Thank you so much for spending some time talking with me about this stuff today. I think it's incredibly important, especially with all of the high stress stuff going on these days and moms expected to be doing everything all the time. Yeah. You know, creative moms who are painting, who are writing, who are all doing all that stuff beforehand, are expected to give that up in place of, they're expected to give it up because they have a kid. And I think that it's incredibly important to get the message out that it's okay to go back to your creative stuff, because if you don't, you're not going to be 100% you anymore.
Right.
And you're not going to be the best you for your child anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really glad that, again, we had this time to talk, and hopefully we'll talk again. And you have a wonderful day.
You too.
Something I wanted to point out before I signed off that really hit me during this interview. Paulette said that it's not selfish to take time for yourself. If you need permission to take time for yourself, for your art, you have it. You don't need anybody to give it to you. You already have permission. This has been episode 6 of Reclaiming Creativity, the podcast where we explore how to reclaim your creative mojo after having kids. I'm your host, Alexia. And please check out the show notes on reclaimingcreativity.com, where you'll find previous episodes and links mentioned in the podcast. Now, go make your art.